Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, May the 23rd. A movement to award the presidency based on the popular vote, the national popular vote, is in Wisconsin. Right now, the state's electoral votes goes to the candidate who wins Wisconsin's popular vote. But a bill that has been introduced in the Wisconsin state legislature and is being considered in most other states would require Wisconsin's Electoral College members to cast their votes, their ballots, to the winner of the national popular vote. We will wonder what you think of this idea and wonder whether you think the presidency should be awarded to the winner of the national popular vote. If this bill had been in place in 2000, Al Gore would have won the presidency. He won the popular vote in the country, but George Bush, disputed or not, won the most electoral votes. We're going to talk about this issue with the Wisconsin lawmaker who proposed this bill and with you, and we welcome your thoughts and questions for her at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org if you want to send us an email. Talk at WPR.org. Do you want Wisconsin to cast its electoral ballots to the presidential candidate who wins the national popular vote, even if that candidate is not the one who won the popular vote in Wisconsin? Confused? Well, we'll try to clear it up with Therese Brousseau, Democratic State Representative from Madison, author of AB 313, Agreement Among States to Elect the President by the Nationwide Popular Vote. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So why are you sponsoring this bill?
Well, I think it's worth discussion because polls over many years, in fact, I've been told decades where this has been measured, have said that the public supports this idea. And I think it's because it fits into our notion of our democracy of one person, one vote, and it's really the fairest democracy in the view of the public.
Yeah. The Constitution, though, has set up this electoral college. Is this like a way to kind of get around it?
Well, what's interesting, I guess, first of all, the answer is no. It's not an end run around the Constitution, because what the Constitution does is it gives the states exclusive control over the manner of awarding of their electoral votes. So, and there are states that do it a different way. I think it's Maine and Nebraska do it by congressional district. There are states that do it a different way. It's not winner take every electoral vote in the state.
And now there are some 46 states, I think I read, that are considering similar legislation to yours.
Well, I think we're up to 48 now. Mm-hmm. I say we because this is a national campaign where legislators in every state are actually asked if they would like to sponsor this and move this along. So I think it's up to 48, 284 legislators from 48 states. It did pass the Colorado Senate. It's been signed into law in Maryland. Passed the Hawaii Senate and the Arkansas House, and it may have passed other houses at this point. I haven't done anything real up to date to follow along at this point to see mm-hmm. if there's been more.
Yeah. So does that mean in Maryland, if it passed, that Maryland, regardless of other states pass it or not, will be casting electoral ballots to the winner of the national popular vote?
No, how this works is that we have to get enough states signed on to the compact to already reflect what would be the majority of electoral college votes. So we'd have to get enough states so that it would represent 270 electoral votes. So see, we're not ignoring the electoral college entirely. We're just saying it's going to work a different way. So we need probably, the estimates are that we need about 25 states before the compact would take effect. So now, Maryland's law will stay on the books. It's not something that has to be voted for by every legislature. So it'll stay on the books until other legislatures pass it and we get up to that point where we have enough to form the compact.
Does it bother you, Representative Burso, that should Wisconsin pass this, Wisconsin's Electoral College members might be casting their ballots for a candidate who did not win the popular vote in Wisconsin?
Well, I think it is a bit of a tough concept to swallow, especially, you know, if you are, as I am, a partisan. I am a Democrat, a solid Democrat, and if the state's votes went to a Republican, that would be hard to swallow. But I do think that it is disturbing that we have the potential, and it has happened in history four times before, that we have had a president who was not elected by the popular vote. And so I think that's a disturbing enough concept to people, and I think people have gotten cynical about the electoral process for a variety of reasons, and this is one way to maybe give people a sense of their power back.
Well, let's ask listeners, do you want Wisconsin to cast its electoral votes to the presidential candidate who wins the national popular vote, even if that candidate is not the one who won the popular vote in Wisconsin? Would this be a better way to elect a president? Or might it mean a state like Wisconsin could be ignored by presidential candidates who might spend more time in more populated states? We'll ask our guest about that possibility after we check the weather. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. We're talking with Therese Brousseau, a Democratic state representative from Madison, author of AB 313, which would require Wisconsin's Electoral College members to cast their ballots for the presidential candidate who receives the most votes nationwide. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us on this Wednesday morning, May the 23rd. This afternoon, Ben Marins is with you between 4 and 6. This is the season for commencement speeches, and Ben's guest after 5 o'clock is a speech coach. And we'll talk about some of the better commencement speeches of the past, and we'll provide tips for the next time you're asked to say a few words. That's coming up after 5 o'clock. We're talking with Therese Brousseau, Democratic State Representative from Madison, who has introduced a bill in the state legislature which adds Wisconsin to the growing list of states that are looking at this national popular vote movement. This bill would require Wisconsin's Electoral College members to cast their ballots for the presidential candidate who receives the most votes nationwide, not just in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We wonder what you think about this idea. And we welcome your questions for our guest. Representative Brousseau, what about that? I was reading an editorial in, of all things, an Arkansas newspaper, and the Arkansas newspaper didn't like this idea. The Arkansas, one of the Arkansas chambers in their legislature did pass a bill that would do this. And they thought, well, why should we do this? Larger states have a lot more electoral votes to cast than small ones. Why should we sacrifice the little influence we have?
Well, first of all, candidates are already ignoring states where they know that the polls are showing that they are too far behind to make a difference. It doesn't make any difference to lose by less in a state because that won't help you one bit under the Electoral College system. So, but Wisconsin historically has been a state, or maybe I guess I don't have total history, but we have often been a state where candidates are in play because we are in play, our state is in play, because we don't know which way the voters are going to go. We've been a little bit idiosyncratic over the years. So, but as it's happening right now, candidates are already ignoring states where they know, as I said, from maybe results in the primaries and the polling that they're doing, that they're not going to win the electoral vote. So this would make, I think, more things in play in that sense, because the electoral vote is not something that would be a given. You know, right now we've got the media that as soon as the electoral vote is known and the winner of that is known, the media starts declaring the winner. And so I think it keeps things in play longer. And I think that, you know, a candidate is still going to be looking at the polls, which they always do.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the primary, this is off our topic, but we heard Kathleen Dunn talk about her program later this morning, where she's going to talk about Florida now being the latest state to move up its presidential primary to January. And Wisconsin's not considering this. Wisconsin's going to stick with its February primary.
Well, that's what I understand. When I think it was my first term, we already moved it up, or there was a proposal to move it up. And so I think at this point, everybody can continue to race to do this, but I think I haven't heard anyone who is interested right now in changing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, to the phones we go. Mitch in Green Bay is first. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I think there's a better way of election reform, and that would be to alter the ballot so that there would be one more line put on underneath each candidate's office, underneath each office, and that would be none of the above. And if the candidates can't beat none of the above, then they can't run for that office again, and they'd rerun the election. But at least then the people would have a real vote. And that would they'd have real power in the ballot box, and that would take away the big influence of money and all the other games that are played.
Yeah, you think none of the above would win, Mitch?
Well, if none of the above would win, then they would rerun the election. But those two part, the people that are running for the office are. That lost to none of the above could not run for the office.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. But what do you think of this idea to have Wisconsin's electoral delegates cast their electoral votes to the winner of the national popular vote?
Well, what that does is that puts a great deal of power in the hands of the state of the populous states, and it takes away any influence that the smaller states have, and a group of smaller states could otherwise have, well, not have in a popular vote, but with the Electoral College could actually make their influence felt through the Electoral College.
Yeah, so I guess Mitch is concerned about that too, Representative Brousseau.
Well, I guess I would still say that the issue right now is that's the way it's playing out, that the smaller states, unless they are clearly in one candidate's camp or another, are already ignored. So it's really only states that are in play or have a lot of electoral votes. But, you know, Wisconsin is generally often in play because there's no, you know, the Republican and Democratic vote can get close.
Yeah. Matt in Milwaukee is next. Hi, Matt.
Hi. I think that the wisdom of the original framers with respect to the Electoral College has to continue to be respected until it becomes such a simple, homogeneous society that it doesn't make any difference where you live. The present system recognizes the fact that we're not a homogeneous society yet, that we have regional interests, and that we still protect the right of the minority. Even if occasionally the popular vote presidential candidate is not brought into office, it still reflects the ultimate wisdom that there are regional interests and there are regional thoughts. And it still protects smaller electoral college states such as Wisconsin to get its votes respected because it still makes candidates play to the regional interests that we have in agriculture, recreation, and manufacturing that we have, for instance, in Wisconsin. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. There are regional issues and interests that are respected by the Electoral College the way it is now, Representative Brousseau.
Well, again, I would say if you're a small state where the outcome is pretty much known, your regional interests are not addressed at all by the candidates. You are ignored. It is that electoral college vote that becomes sort of the be-all and end-all. I guess the other problem that we have with people wanting to change the system usually comes from people, you know, the party faithful, who in states, for instance, that where, you know, it's generally a solid Republican vote or solid Democratic vote, the insiders really don't want to give up that power. The elected officials of the party that generally maintains power don't want to give it up. Now, as to the intent of the framers, what I have read is basically they were concerned about the rural uneducated people, and they wanted the Electoral College to reflect the educated voter. And there may have been other reasons as well, but that's one of the driving forces from what I understand. So, I think, you know, the reason I brought the bill forward mm-hmm. is for this type of discussion, and I think that we will perhaps have disagreement, but I think it's interesting to see where the people are on this issue. As I said, polls have said that 70% of the people support this concept, so now we'll see.
Jim in Madison, I think, supports this concept, right, Jim?
I do indeed. I think that fundamentally the framers of the Constitution didn't trust the population, the rabble, if you will, and they wanted to protect the country against the popular will. And it's unfortunate that, in fact, this archaic electoral college system still exists. All we have to do is ask ourselves where we might be today if, in fact, the popular vote had elected our president in 2000. We wouldn't be in Iraq and other misdeeds that we're now experiencing and having problems with. But this only happened a couple of times in history where the popular vote and the electoral vote was different. So it's not as if it's a major thing. It was with respect to Wisconsin being ignored. Wisconsin's ignored now because it has few electoral votes. If every vote counted, Wisconsin would have a better chance. Every voter would have a better chance of getting their voice heard, and the larger states wouldn't carry as much weight as they do now because of the large number of electoral votes they have. Mm-hmm. And I'll hang up and listen to your comments off the phone.
Thank you very much, Jim. Representative Brousseau?
Well, I obviously agree, and that's what this bill is all about. And there are four presidents who did not receive a majority or plurality of the vote, and George Bush was the latest, and probably did fuel a lot of the cynicism that I think is out there that maybe the popular vote doesn't mean anything. And we know that it was a difference of 537 votes in Florida determining whether or not Gore would have gotten those electoral votes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't think that this predates, not this particular bill, but this idea of abolishing the Electoral College has been discussed for many, many years. And this is called by a number of editorials across the state an ingenious solution, because it doesn't get rid of the Electoral College. It still acknowledges the Electoral College.
I have to jump in because we're at news time, but then we'll continue talking about this national popular vote movement after the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 now on this Wednesday, May the 23rd. We're talking with State Representative Therese Brousseau. She's a Democratic State Representative from Madison and author of AB 313, Agreement Among States to Elect the President by the National Popular Vote. This bill would require Wisconsin's Electoral College members to cast their ballots for the presidential candidate who receives the most votes nationwide, not just in Wisconsin. We wonder what you think about this, what questions you have for her at 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Talk@wpr.org. Representative Brousseau, I just got something from the National Popular Vote website, which includes a number of lawmakers in Wisconsin who also are supporting this idea and, I guess, co-sponsors of this bill with you. Everybody's a Democrat. Is that right?
Yes, and I'm confused about that, and haven't asked my fellow Republicans what's up, except for the fact, and this is one of the reasons voters are cynical right now, is that we do have the issue in Wisconsin and perhaps other states as well, I'm guessing they do, that if a bill is authored by a minority party member, that the majority party doesn't sign on. And for instance, in the Senate, Senate bills would, you know, authored by the majority Democrats might not get Republican sponsors. So I just that could be the only issue, that it doesn't mean that we never, that a Republican never signs on to a Democrat's bill. But if it's not something that they really feel all that moved by, for example, only 5.6% of Democratic bills were signed by the governor in the last session when the Republicans were in control of both houses.
Yeah, do you consider this a partisan issue?
It doesn't have to be the issue. It is the way we work today, mm-hmm. which is really pretty shameful.
Right. I'm just wondering if the issue itself is somehow clouded by the partisan nature of the Bush-Gore election.
Well, I think there is that possibility, too, that they think that the bill is driven by that, and they disagree, and they don't think that, they think that Bush was fairly elected, and you can't tell them otherwise. So, mm-hmm. But this isn't, as I said, this while that may have gotten certain people moving on this, this isn't either abolishing the Electoral College or reworking how it works, which is what this is, has been an issue under discussion for many, many years preceding the Bush-Gore election.
Mm-hmm. Brent and Nina is with us next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I've got 2 points. One, this will never work until you control urban voter fraud in like places like Chicago, which is notorious for 100 years, and Philadelphia, among other cities. You may recall Chicago gave the victory to Kennedy over Nixon in 1960. The other issue that you will have to address is you'll have to have a runoff election. Bill Clinton only won with 41.8% of the vote in 1992. That's hardly the popular vote. It may be a plurality, but not the popular vote. And you will continue to have spoiler candidates if you don't have a runoff election, such as they had in France. Thank you very much. I'll take the answer offline.
Yeah, what do you think of that, Representative Brousseau?
Well, I have to admit that I don't know enough about the numbers in terms of voter fraud in other states to know whether or not they would have changed the outcome nationally or even in that state. I think that people who are inclined to believe that there's massive voter fraud don't necessarily always have the statistics with them. So, because I know there's been those claims in Wisconsin, and they were reviewed, and very little voter fraud was found. Now, I just don't know enough about Pennsylvania. And looking back at the Kennedy election is going back a bit far from me in terms of knowing the analysis of what happened there. On the issue of plurality, well, yes, I understand that did happen, but you're talking about the fact that we're taking a look at the national results, and it can already happen, as I said, that somebody doesn't get a majority or plurality, and we're not doing a runoff now. So that's the situation we've got today.
Thanks to Brent. John in La Crosse is with us now. Hi, John.
Hi. The Electoral College itself does have a flaw to it. I think that our whole voting system has a flaw to it just because of the way it's set up, because of the amount of people that are involved with it, the amount of human people that are involved with it. But doesn't the Electoral College have an obligation to the voters in the state itself, depending on who those, who appoints those Electoral College folks. And I think the last guy who commented, and I just want your opinion on that, the obligation that you have towards the voters in a state when you said that they have to go with the national majority. And then the last guy, I think, made the most valid point that I think the fraud aspect of this is going to become rampant in larger metropolitan areas.
Well, why would it become rampant because of this?
If the popular vote becomes the sole driving force behind who becomes the president, the sad things that happened in Milwaukee a few years ago, the things that have happened in all different types of large metropolitan areas are going to happen in a larger scale. And to not say they wouldn't would be an idealist view, which I'm all for, but the reality is you're going to get yourself in a situation where you're going to have to do a tremendous amount of more of governing voting situation.
Yeah, in any case, we kind of talked a little bit about that already. What was your main point, your main question for our guest?
Obligation towards the voters in the state that an Electoral College member would have.
Mm-hmm. Representative Brousseau?
Yes. Well, already there can be something that I think we call the faithless voter in terms of the Electoral College. There are sometimes, it has happened, but it's rare, that an Electoral College member will not vote the way they are expected to vote. And there is punishment for that. However, no Electoral College member has ever been, as I understand my history, has never been punished for doing that. So that scenario could happen, that an Electoral College member or members, rebel against it. But that's why, this campaign is going on to build support for the idea that in our country we want, one person, one vote to count, and that consequently we want to acknowledge the legitimacy of the popular vote as opposed to the Electoral College vote.
Got an email from Richard in Mequon who wonders why this proposed legislation would award all the electoral votes to one candidate. And then he goes on to say, how about if a state voted 50.1% for one party and 49.9% for the other party to instead split the electoral votes in half?
Well, there are states that do that. As I mentioned, that there are a couple states where they don't split it, but they do it by congressional district to reflect the popular vote in that congressional district, which is acknowledging regional concerns within a state. I don't know how that influences candidates' attention to that state. It probably means that it's a little bit more up for grabs, and maybe candidates concentrate, and I'm sure they do, on states where things are a little bit more certain. I'm not sure what his point would be.
Well, I guess he does say an extra vote. It's kind of long here. I wanted to abbreviate it. The extra vote would go for the candidate that had the slight majority in the case. But if the state voted 75% to 25% between two candidates, the electoral votes would be split 3-1. I don't mm-hmm. guess he's trying to give those people who voted for the minority candidate a little bit of a say, too. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Let me take a weather break, and then we will continue taking calls for Therese Brousseau, Democratic State Representative from Madison, about a bill that she and other Democratic state representatives have introduced in the state legislature. It's part of the National Popular Vote Movement. It is entitled Agreement Among States to Elect the President by the National Popular Vote. It would require, if it passes, and enough states pass this, and it is being considered in 48 states right now, it would require Wisconsin's Electoral College delegates to cast their ballots to the winner of the National Popular Vote. Whichever presidential candidate wins the most votes nationwide would be awarded Wisconsin's Electoral College votes, even if that candidate didn't win in Wisconsin. What do you think of this idea? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest says this ensures that It's that the candidate who wins the most votes across the country would be elected president, unlike what happened in 2000. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 12 minutes before 7 o'clock, coming up after 7, Ronald Reagan's presidency has been drawn upon many times on the campaign trail by the current crop of GOP presidential candidates. We'll talk with a guest after 7 o'clock who says that Ronald Reagan's legacy as a great president is really a myth. That's after 7 o'clock. We are talking with Therese Brousseau, a Democratic state representative from Madison, who has authored a bill which would require Wisconsin's Electoral College members to cast their ballots for the presidential candidate who receives the most votes nationally, not just in Wisconsin. It's a part of the National Popular Vote movement. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Sean in Burlington is our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was against this this type of thing for a long time because I was afraid that candidates would only visit the two coasts and ignore the vast stretches of the country. And I think that, like your guest has pointed out, that's already occurring in just a different way. But the reason I'd like to counter some of the wild conspiracy theories that a couple callers have brought out about urban voter fraud, which is just ludicrous and has been shown to be very, very minimal. And what I think this measure would do, in fact, it might be a reason why some of your Republican colleagues have refused to sign on, is that this would make it nearly impossible for a party to focus on one key state like Florida or Ohio and use caging lists and other voter suppression techniques like the number of voting machines in certain districts and other quite frankly, un-American, undemocratic tactics to tip an election by just focusing on one state. They'd have to do it nationwide, and I think it would be not only very obvious but almost impossible to accomplish. And so I changed my mind, and I'm very much in favor of this.
What do you think, Representative Brousseau?
Well, I think he's brought up a great point. You know, one of the problems with politics is advertising, and in the same way any other product is advertised, you tell people often enough that there's been voter fraud and they believe it, despite the fact that statistics prove otherwise. So especially the caller who mentioned the voter fraud in Milwaukee, there were found to be very few cases. So he has brought up the issue of the fact that what we have to worry about now is elections being rigged by the machinery. I think there's a lot of concern about the the voting machines and whether or not those can be rigged and other things that I think would be a lot more alarming than the alleged voter fraud that is proven to be in rather small numbers but has mushroomed in some people's minds to be this huge problem.
A University of Virginia professor, Larry Sabato, we see him and hear him often, he's quoted nationally a lot, says one of the chief advantages of the Electoral College today is that it isolates recounts to individual states. It's inevitable that we will have another squeaker election sometime, and if we had this system, we'd be asking for it, that it would have to be a national recount.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons, though, too, after Florida, that every state is looking at refining their system, educating their poll workers, making sure that they have equipment that functions, that's not rigged, et cetera, because if there are more recounts, there's still a deadline by which those recounts have to be done. In time, because this bill doesn't change anything in terms of the time frame for the Electoral College to meet and certify the vote. The new law that's requiring us to all update I think that's one of the ways we're trying to get at this, because it needs to be done anyway. And I don't know that we can predict whether or not there'd be more recounts. I don't know how many states would end up that close. I don't think it happens that often that it's that close that it would call for a recount.
June in Shawano is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to ask why you've decided to go this route instead of the traditional route of trying to amend the Constitution and abolish the Electoral College.
Well, there's been a number of attempts over the years to abolish the Electoral College, and they haven't gotten anywhere, and Congress doesn't seem to move on a lot of things, and states have taken the initiative. You can look at things like the minimum wage. States finally gave up on Congress moving on the issue. So I think this is reflecting, really, the frustration with Congress moving on anything much at all. And states are looking at ways on their own to deal with health care reform because Congress hasn't done anything meaningful in that regard. So I think it's amending the Constitution is a big deal. And so this is saying, well, we'll stick with what we've got, but we have the option under the Constitution to rework it. And so that seems more workable right now than trying to amend the Constitution.
Thank you very much, June. Next is Will in Merrill. Hi, Will. You're on the air.
Okay. What I'd like to have you consider is that if we had the popular vote rather than the Electoral College, then sparsely populated states or states without any really big cities would really lose their voice because it'd be the population in these concentrated areas that would really decide everything.
So just the cities would decide and Merrill would not?
Sure, in a state like California and Florida and New York, Texas, we'd have maybe four centers of public thought, you might say.
So can you calm Will down, Representative Burso?
Well, I'd go back to the point that I made that after the primary and polling results, there's already, candidates already know where they're likely to be getting their votes in a populous state like California or, any state where the vote is already more or less leaning a particular way enough so that a candidate knows he or she is not going to get the popular vote and consequently the electoral vote is going to be ignored no matter what size. So I think, the system that we've got right now, candidates are counting electoral votes and taking a look at, states that they can win to get those electoral votes. So, we went over the point before that already states are being ignored because they lean a certain way. They lean Democratic, they lean Republican. They don't offer enough electoral votes. They're not in play.
Yeah, right. But Wisconsin hasn't been ignored because we are a swing state, and a big state like California actually is ignored because it typically leans Democratic.
So and I think Wyoming or whatever typically is Republican, and I think, as I said, one of the difficulties with getting this bill moved forward in some states is because they don't want to give up that partisan, role that they play, that they solidly deliver for one party or another. So the insiders don't want to give that up. What the general population thinks, I'm not certain, and that's what part of this campaign is to find, to gauge the mood of the public to see if it reflects what the polls have been telling us.
Yeah.
But I think the Electoral College, is something that a lot of people don't think about a lot, and it's hard to get excited about it, and we have that challenge.
We really have had full lines the whole hour, though, of our Wisconsin Public Radio listeners anyway. John and Mason will be our last caller, though. Very briefly, we're out of time, John.
You out of time?
Just about, so very briefly.
Well, let me say this real quick. If we really want to do this, I first of all, I think the founders of this country were a lot smarter than the average, if we average out the American population. And if we went to the popular vote, all we need to do, considering what's going on right now, is Texas could take over the whole business by just opening their borders and have all the Texans vote, and I'm sure they'd vote Democratic, and they'd vote for, then we'd have to support Mexico and everything, and we'd have total chaos. People, the founding fathers were heck of a lot smarter than the average American is now.
I don't know which way
you cut it.
Well, I'll just leave it to you. We only have a minute to Representative Brousseau.
Well, the framers of the Constitution did leave it up to us to decide how we wanted to award the electoral votes. They were, you know, they didn't say that it had to be the way that it is today. So we have that flexibility. And the idea of Texas voting Democratic, I think Texas has gone back and forth. We did have Ann Richardson, but then we had George Bush. So I'm not exactly sure where he's coming from there.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole other conversation. I think he was talking about immigration from Mexico into Texas was going to influence
this. And if they're not legal, they're not voting.
Yeah.
So
that we'll leave it there. We had lots of interest, though, and maybe got the discussion started. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Therese Brousseau, Democratic State Representative from Madison. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour and to Karen Prager and Christy Taylor for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.